like to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture found in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. My subject tonight is seeking and saving. I take my thought from verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have here the story of Zacchaeus. Probably every person here has sometime or other sung this song. And especially all of the little ones here have sung concerning Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was described here as a publican. He was a man that was a tax collector. And you'll notice here, the story reads that he wanted to see Jesus. And it was impossible for him to look over the great multitude or throngs of people because that he was a small fellow. So the most logical thing that he could do, he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up into a tree. One of the most amazing things happens as Zacchaeus climbs up into that tree. Many people, no doubt, was in that great throng or multitude of people that was following the Lord Jesus Christ. But as the Lord Jesus Christ came up to that tree, he looked up. And he said, he knew his name. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And what I like here, Jesus bids him to come down. And you'll notice he also says here in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Now, the crowd or the multitude of people here, they murmur. And they are going to complain because they're saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go and to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus is carrying out his mission. The very mission that the Father sent him to perform, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Listen, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10,
And there in verse 5 and verse 6, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Somebody said, how are you going to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel if you don't know who they are? And we don't know who they are, but God does. And the most interesting thing to me is that the Holy Spirit impresses and works within us and upon us and directs us and leads us and brings us to the very person that He would have us to go to and to speak to and to witness to and to preach to. This thing's not left up to high pressure evangelism and change. We've been bombarded. Baptists have. And we've been bombarded with this easy believism. Our churches today have been filled with people that have made some type of a decision rather than coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and their forgiveness of sin because of our efforts rather than the Holy Spirit directing and leading us and guiding us to those that He has come to seek and to save. Amen. Jesus went on a little bit later in that same chapter of the book of Matthew and said, but He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The first thing that I want us to think about in this verse is the seeking. I'm confident tonight that you're much like me in many ways. Have you ever misplaced something? You know, I have a, I don't want you to call it a habit or what it is, but I have a habit of putting things up where I won't, where I'll know exactly where they are when I get ready for them. I do that in my office. No other preachers probably do this. And then I spent 30 minutes Saturday morning looking for something that I knew right where that I placed it or put it. What I think happens is, I think my wife gets in there and straightens up. But the kind of seeking that Jesus is doing is not that kind of seeking. Now, I speak and I don't know where it is. And I finally have to come to the conclusion and say, help! The Son of Man has come to seek that which was lost. Now there's a purpose here. In this sense of usage of this word, He is seeking the people He came to die for. John chapter 10 and verse 11 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In other words, what we have in this passage of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sheep. But I think there's something that is even great and greater as we read here in John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. People say, well, by tanks, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to do that. Go ahead and do it. But I've got news for you. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ die for his sheep, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows us. He knows every one of them and he knows where they are. Exactly. In verse 14, look what it says. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And then, of course, we like the other part of that verse. And am known of mine. I believe an example here is Zacchaeus. Somebody said, boy, Zacchaeus sure was fortunate. We know we use that word instead of lucky. We say, Zacchaeus sure was fortunate. Oh, it was far more than that. I believe according to God's eternal purpose and according to the working and the agreement of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in an everlasting covenant, that God knew Zacchaeus in eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if he knows that, why can't we understand he knows where they are? Why can't we understand that? If we're sovereign part of the way, we ought to be sovereign all the way. I believe, as he said here to Zacchaeus in this verse 5, I read this. Did anybody ever tell you you must do something? You don't like that too much, do you? But you look what he said here in Luke 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at the house. He wasn't any place else he could abide. He must abide there, for Zacchaeus was one of his lost sheep. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'll give you another illustration. There's so many through the Word of God. John chapter 4. You remember how the Jews fell about the Gentiles and about the Samaritans and how that they would bypass the land of Samaria and go around even a great distance, a great amount of miles, so that they would not go by those old Samaritans over there. But like, not like we are. About things we do is bad. But Jesus says in chapter 4, and there in verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And look at that word must. And he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Not because of the route or the route or the road, but because there was a lost sheep over there. There was a Samaritan woman over there at the well. You know, somebody said, you mean tell me that he knew she was over there? I can tell you something greater than that. Yeah, that's right. And he knew how many husbands she had or how many men she was living with. And she went into the city and she told those men and said, well, come see a man that told me all things every day. I believe today that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's doing it. Some fellows will get up and preach and they'll try to shame their congregation. They'll try to make them feel like a worm. And they'll get them all kept up on their own emotionalism and their efforts, and they'll go out and they'll do great things. And the Lord ain't in. But I tell you what, When you preach the truth that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he does it through the preaching of the Word of God under the inspiration and direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit, then that what you do for the Lord will be well pleasing unto him and will bring honor and glory unto his name.
Amen.
Today he is seeking the lost. The commission to his church, he said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. He went on then and said in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he is seeking the lost today through his churches. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he is seeking the lost through today. He plants the church in a location under the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit. He sends a man of God there under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The man of God is led of the Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God. The people of God are led to hear the Word of God by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God go out into the world and they preach the gospel, and Jesus seeks and saves that which was lost. Today he is also, through his churches, through the missionaries of his churches. That includes everybody. Listen, the writer of the book of Acts said in Acts 13:2, this was concerning Paul and Barnabas. Now notice this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called thee. If we'll do and follow what the Holy Spirit says, you don't have to worry about being a failure. You'll be a success. Someone told me one time, said, why, if I believed what you believe, I wouldn't preach to anybody. Oh, yes, you would. Said, well, why do you even send missionaries? Believe what you believe. Because we know they're out there. We know that when the Holy Spirit lays upon the heart of a man to go to a place, that there are people there in that location that must hear the gospel and will hear the gospel, and they'll be saved by the grace of God. Amen, brother. That's missions with a purpose. Remember what the Lord said to Apostle Paul? For I have much people in this city. He directs and he sends his missionaries. Listen to Acts 16, verse 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel of the day. And you'll not only go, but you'll go preaching. I mean, you can't help it. You'll go preaching. You won't stop either on the way. You'll go and you'll preach. I believe it, brethren, all the way ever been it is of God. It's not that, you know, he makes a down payment. We keep up installments. It's not that at all. So there's not only the seeking, but there's the saving. He seeks them out. He calls out his people through the preaching of the gospel and through the preaching of God's word. What a joy and what a blessing. But then there's the saving. You can count on it. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Jesus shall save his people. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know what that is? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Then you know, John 10:16, I remember back, before the Lord taught me this truth, I remember how hard I tried to explain John 10:16. I did it the best I could to explain it away. It stayed right there. You ever try that? Now notice, we've had him saving or coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I'm thankful that inclusive in his people is not only Jews, but is also Gentiles. And that's what this verse of Scripture means. A lady one time, when I was first called to preach, asked my wife, said, "Ask your husband what this verse means." And I couldn't do away with it. I couldn't skip over it. That's what a lot of people do. So I did like most of them, I just explained it away. But I believe it says, "And other sheep I have," that is, "of those Gentiles, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." And now notice that they're going, the gospel's going to be preached to them. The Lord's going to speak to them himself. He's going to speak to them through his word. That's the way he speaks to his lost sheep, is through his word. Under the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're not so naive that we would say that men are saved apart from the Word. But notice, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. All men are sinners. All men are in need of a Savior. Not all men are lost sheep. All are sinners, for all are sin, comes short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, but by one man, sin enters. Romans 5:12, Romans 3:10, and Romans 3:23. The lost are a gift of the Father to the Son. John 17:2. Perk up your ears, Baptist. Listen to this first verse. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh." There it is. "That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent." Verse 7, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." Verse 9, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse 14, "I have given them thy word." Aren't you thankful that verse of Scripture is in here? "And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 20 and verse 24. "Neither pray I for these alone." Now look at this. "But for them also which shall believe on me through their word." You know what that is? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God has the means whereby that he seeks them out. And he has whereby that he saves them by his grace, by his power. He will save all of his people." Sometimes I tell my church this, and a lot of people don't understand it. I say, "We're going to see everybody saved in our community that the Lord wants us to see saved." What I mean by that is, God's going to prick our hearts. He's going to warm our hearts and stir our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God, which is like a fire and like a hammer, and he'll move us He'll move us to where we'll go to those people. We'll be burdened for them. We'll be concerned about them. We can't help but go and witness to them and speak to them of the saving power and the saving grace of God.
And I said, everyone he wants to be a member of this church is going to be a member of this church too. I believe that. I not only believe God saves His people, but I believe God places His people in the church.
And the Lord don't place everybody in the church that He saves, but He places those in His church that pleases Him to His honor and to His glory to carry on His work.
John 6, 37 and 39. Say, back up the scripture. Here it is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. 39th verse. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. A lot of thoughts and things come to my mind. What happens here is, He will draw all of them through His ordained means. That is, the Word of God being wielded as the sword of the Spirit. In the 44th verse of that 6th chapter, notice what he said. No man can come to me. I don't want anything to the Word of God. No man will. He won't. But he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 63 to 65. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, that believe not. And who should betray him? And he said, therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. So the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.